Ja, ich weiß nicht, wer hat von euch schon mal so eine Altersverifikation gemacht? Wer ist dran gescheitert? Ja, ist nicht so leicht, ne? Vor allem, wenn man noch nicht 18 war. Naja, egal, auf jeden Fall werden uns diese Thematiken in Zukunft wahrscheinlich aus unterschiedlichen Gründen noch
For different reasons, these topics are going to be relevant for us. So we're thinking about what does this mean for privacy. Do I need extra devices, extra cameras? So this is what this next talk is going to be about, with the title, Of course I'm 18, Age Verification from Data Privacy Perspective. Our speakers are going to bring in a lot of expertise. There's Aline Zilla, for once, who's technical assistant for federal data privacy commissioner, and also Dr. Carsten Adrian, who's as well commissioner. Both are in Referat 23 for.
Und viel Spaß beim folgenden Talk.
Okay, let's give a huge applause for both and let's have an interesting talk. Thanks a lot. Welcome.
Prüfungen und Datenschutz anhören möchtet.
Good that you want to hear something about age verification and data privacy. Before we start, a short disclaimer. To see this talk, you have to be at least age 42. Please type in your date of birth, keep your camera at hand, and also a copy of your ID card. Of course, we're not meaning this actually, but as announced, stuff like this is gonna meet up with us more often in the future, especially, for example, in Australia, who is now a new law about social media for age under 16. Sweden is also debating about social media age limits, and in Germany there are also debates about where youth, young people can move within the net. The European Commission is also looking for solutions for age verifications. There are a lot of prototypes on the market, and we will get into that sooner. Starting point would be about the Digital Services Act, short DSA. Online services have to think about age verification on their platforms. For example, no minors have to see explicit advertising. But we'll also get to that later on. The DSA was also the starting point for us. We've also been professionally announced, so I can keep this short. I'm Alina, and my colleague Carsten is here. We've been dealing with age verification a lot during the last year. Central question for us was age verification and data privacy, how can we combine these? How can we verify this? How are we allowed to verify this? And it's not easy to answer these questions, and we try to do this within the next talk. We take you with us. We dare a view through the data privacy glasses and give you at first an overview over the methods. What are we talking about when we speak of age verification? We also look into the books. What about legal texts and laws? Which kind of legal framework are we working in? I can at this point teaser on a guest appearance of chat control.
Starten wir also mit den Methoden.
Let's start with the methods. There's three different categories on how online platforms can verify age. You've probably heard about that in the intro disclaiming part. First is the age declaration. You can do this easily over a checkbox or any forms, but it's not an actual verification if this is actually true. It's not like, it's more like you go into a store and there's alcohol within the in the shelves, and you just see, okay, it's only to buy from age 18 on. No verification ever, and so on. From data minimization point, it's very minimal data, so it has five points. From the accessibility, this is easy, so also this looks good. We have 5 of 5 points. The catch is the trust niveau. So how much can the service trust in the accuracy of this data? So give it a go. Which of you has also lied about your age on these kind of tests? Thanks for your honesty. That's the point. If it would be able to give 0 points, I would do this, but yeah, so the minimum points is 1 of 5. So this is kind of a barrier that is made, so you don't do watch stuff that you shouldn't see without by random, but it's not actually verified. So let's go on to the estimation, age estimation. Like here, it's 97%.
Dazu werden verschiedene Daten ausgewertet. Das ist
several data is evaluated for that. It's like face and voice, but also the usage and interaction behavior. Someone who googled a bit too often for tax formula taxation, then you're probably about age 18. Others are like skills and knowledges that you should have when you've reached a certain age. Within my example, it would be like the critical view of the cashier into your face if you look like you've already bought alcohol, booze before. From data minimization points, we can only estimate, but we estimate it's about like -73%. Around 73%. Accessibility differs a bit. It depends on. There's a lot of biases about that. There are people who have obvious anomalies about them, and then maybe it's not. This is not working for everyone. Trust niveau is. It depends. It's an age declaration, but there's also a bit. Errors can occur.
There's also an issue if you are close to the age level, because that is hard to estimate. If you really want to know very safely who is in front of you at the computer, what can you do? The only choice there is age verification, and that uses unique or clear identificators or verified identification sources. Now, identificators could be state documents, ID documents, driving license, whatever you can think of. And sources could be, well, institutions that know me as a person and that can vouch for the fact that I have reached the age limit. This could be a bank, my health insurance, schools, lots of institutions could come to mind. Places where you have to show your ID at the cashiers, maybe even. For this, we need not that many data. Your ID card with the E function is actually quite good in terms of data minimization, but when it comes to this small amount of data that you need, these are quite critical data. They can be used to identify you quite uniquely. Access also is, well, not as well as you would think. It's okay-ish. You get your ID card from the age of 18, including the eID function. But there are various reasons why you would not have an ID document or a document that could be used in a procedure like this. It would be great if I can verify my age through my doctor's surgery, but my doctor's surgery is not going to be connected to this system. But on the other hand, the trust level here is as good as it could get. Not 100% still, but within the possible the range of possibilities, there is no better option.
Good.
All right. Now we know what we have as tools. And now, if we say we are an online platform, maybe a social media or a porn platform or a tuition platform, which of these methods should I use? If I'm now going to confront you with a sentence that you will hear a lot, and this is that one, it depends. There are various advantages and disadvantages. And depending on how important it is to me to be able, as a platform operator, to trust the age, and also depending on how much I can address the difficulties. And I have to stop here because we now have a Jurassic Park kind of problem. Now we've asked about how trustworthy age verification is, and the other question is, do I really want to use it, and am I allowed to use it? So I'm now going to hand over for legal instructions to Carsten. Yes, thank you for this wonderful transition. And a lawyer could not ask for a better introduction. It depends. So let's get a bit of a light into this darkness and ask when services are allowed to use age verification, when they have to, and at what point authorities can demand of services that they introduce age tests, and you can then, of course, still ask how are these tests to be implemented. Now, at first, you have an age assurance process that immediately leads to the processing of individual personal data, because you have to have a link to the person affected whose age is going to be checked. And if these data are being processed, the General Data Protection Regulation is going to apply, and we as data protection people then would warn, please keep in mind that there is a prohibition on processing personal data unless there is an exception. And the exception that could be used here is the one in Article 6, Section 1 of the GDPR. We are going to look at exceptions later. Let's look at the standard case first. And what is most important here is that there are legal acts that demand that age verification take place. The data protection law does not prohibit you from processing the data that you actually need, so there is an exception there. But there are other exceptions, and we will look at those later on. Now, starting with the legal obligation to conduct age verification, you could say that the GDPR in itself would have an obligation in it, because it does demand certain extra protections if children's data is being processed. An obligation cannot be derived from that, though, because this is not concrete enough. There is no concrete rule that says when an age verification test has to be made. And let's now look at the Digital Services Act, DSA, that has been mentioned a lot and debated a lot, and as Alina already said, Article 21, Section 1 and 3, and Article 35, Section 1, these are about social media, file sharing and other platforms. They have to have appropriate measures to protect children. And of course, now you could say that this entails an obligation to test, assure someone's age, but Article 3, Section 3 of Article 28, immediately says that this does not derive an obligation to process any further personal data. So the kind of the law takes the obligation back a bit immediately. And if you look further, you get to Article 35, which obliges very large platform operators, so-called VLOPs, to implement extra measures to risk for risk minimization. It mentions age assurance as an option, not an obligation, something that could be used. So also the Digital Services Act does not actually produce a clear obligation for age assurance. Now, let's now move to the so-called chat control. That's the name for it. It's the regulation to protect children from sexual abuse. That does recommend in its initial draft an obligation for age assurance for telecommunication services, including messengers, the well-known ones, or video conferencing systems. And these, according to this, if there is a high risk for children, are going to be obliged to introduce age verification or assurance. And app stores in general are to be obliged to implement age verification. The amendments or the counter draft from the European Parliament actually struck out both these obligations. The debate is still ongoing, and we're going to be very interested what the Council of the EU is going to do and how the German government will behave in that context. And I'm sure we are going to take part in that debate, but we have to put a question mark to this because we cannot see what is going to happen. Now, actual obligations do exist in youth protection or minor protection law. I'm not going to throw all these abbreviations, acronyms at you. So we have the audiovisual media services law. This is EU law that has to be implemented, a directive, and the youth protection law and the treaty between the German states on minors protection implements this. And this includes a rule that content that is dangerous to minors must only be supplied in closed user groups. And these tend to be over 18 kinds of content. So these can only be made accessible in closed user groups. And there has been a court ruling that said that only age verification can assure this. But age estimation has now also been added as a possible option here. We're not going to get into the details. Maybe during the talk it will get a bit clearer, but the obligation does exist, and the media institutions in the German states are aware of that. Then online gambling, which is also regulated in a treaty between the German states, does require age verification and actually true identification. And to be complete, of course, as in the analog world, even also in the digital sphere, it has to be assured that children will not get access to alcohol, weapons, and such. Now, if you look at this slide, you see that there are obligations for age assurance, but only in a few marginal cases, dangerous gambling. So the call for age assurance kind of misses the actual situation in law. And especially the Digital Services Act has shown that the legislator was quite sensitive here and made clear immediately that there wasn't a clear obligation. Because of that, we'll look at the other possible crimes that this Article 6 in the GDPR has. So there is the consent to data processing, and you wouldn't be able to consent to age verification because you have to find out in the first place whether the person is a child or not, so that cannot fall under consent. What can apply is institutions that implement state authority tasks or roles, or the government agencies. We don't know of any case where they needed age verification. What might apply is that a platform wants to conduct a contract with its users, and age verifications might be regarded as a necessary precondition for that, finding out whether the person actually has the age of at which they can enter into a legal contract. And for private institutions, not government agencies, they could refer to a legitimate interest. And a legitimate interest in age verification could be that I want to protect children on my platform from the risks they might encounter there. And I might want to have consent to another kind of data processing, for example, for advertising purposes, and need an age verification for that. You cannot conclude from this that if either of these three situations apply, you immediately have to have age assurance. Instead, and I have to refer back to the sentence that I was introduced with, it depends. And what it does, it depend on, I'm going to look at in the next few slides. And you have to look at the children's welfare for those that apply. And this, of course, age verification does apply to children's welfare. And what that actually means in the digital realm is something that the United Nations, in a general comment, dealt with. And it's not going to be a surprise. This is a protection issue. They have to be protected from harmful, not trustworthy content, violence and grooming, but also intrusions in their privacy and personal data. What is no less important, and the UN has made this clear, is that there has to be an assurance and a safeguarding. Children have to be able to participate in communication, and they have to be enabled to use the digital sphere. And last but not least, of course, they have to be able to use various basic freedoms that they may have. You could think of freedom of expression or freedom of assembly. And that, as a service operator, you have to keep in mind when you ask yourself, do I have to use age assurance? Especially as a government agency, you have to weigh the conflicting interests and have to weigh up the pros and cons of age verification. On the pro side, you have to ask, what am I going to use this for? You have to minimize specific risks, maybe, but you'd really have to define this for the balancing act. What do I have to protect? What am I going to use it for? Only then can I actually weigh up the pros and cons. It could also be the case that you want to create a protected room for children. This could be a social media offering targeted just at children where they could exchange and communicate. Now, let's look at a few cons regarding age verification. Now, normally this is very much affecting basic rights. It excludes people that have not reached the age limit or that do not pass the age test due to biases or the fact that they don't have ID documents, or maybe they don't want to take part in an age verification process. So these create chilling effects, which means that users are no longer using their freedoms because they're being controlled all the time. Because, of course, it's clear age verification is an intrusion into privacy and data protection, and it might create a real or just perceived pressure of surveillance. If I have to use my face all the time and put it to a camera or use my ID document, well, I get the feeling that Big Brother is watching me and I will not use the net as freely as I would do without these checks, would I? And of course, the abuse potential, of course, cannot be underestimated. If you look at the pro side, if you want to create a protected space, of course, this will be a very attractive space for potential culprits, offenders, so you have to be certain that this room is sufficiently secure. But a potential for misuse also arises from age verification itself, because the information that I have to supply, of course, tells me something about the media consumption behavior that I have, and that's just interesting information for state actors, be it youth protection authorities, health insurances, schools, but private parties too. So you have to be very much aware that the data that are gained from age verification are not abused in any other way. And
the last point, to circumvent age verifications is usually very easy. So if you have VPNs or other services which are offered worldwide, there's often not any age verification enabled. So I can easily circumvent it this way. There are obviously also other ways. But that's at least one I could also still manage to use. This shows not only quantitative points, but also the content is showing how much this actually intrudes into your privacy, and even a few cases are only there where it's really adequate and appropriate to use that, because there's a lot of risk coming along with that. So besides that, it's also important to have a look at which other adequate, less intrusive methods I might have, which are maybe even fitting better to these purposes. And we as a data protection agency are looking for data and protection by design as default.
Zu generieren. Also ich kann private Profile machen, eine Vernetzung.
So that we look at the kids and also look at minimized profiles, try to avoid personalization and advertisement. All this is not a blueprint and means that the service is going to be safe to use after that. But even through some of these measures, which usually mean economic implications, the privacy protection for children can be improved and can also impact other social discourse on this topic. There's a plethora of other methods, like content moderations, notifications, methods. I don't want to name them all. But also important are the political measures, like looking together with the children what they're doing online, and enable and teach them to move in the net, and also hand them to other institutions that might educate them, but also those institutions are going to need more work and more help to improve the protection online. So if you took the barrier, even despite my mentionings right now, age verification, and if you want to implement that, how does it happen? And we wouldn't be an official institution if we wouldn't mention the GDPR at least. Just mentioning these roughly, transparency, binding to a purpose, data minimization, truthfulness, technical and organizational methods. We're still going to have a problem with sensible data. Those data that are giving information about sexual or religious orientation or health. I can not only look at Article 6, but also have to look at Article 9 of the GDPR, which is seeing different limitations to the statute. And to those services, I can only have a legal basis. But they're not really saying that privacy data is going to be processed. But this can be very important for services which are monitoring the entire surfing behavior to do an age verification, because those obviously are going to come in contact with such sensible data. And often lack the basis, the legal basis for that. Another problem is also the automated decision making according to Article 22 of the GDPR, which is prohibiting the automatic decision making, which the affected people are going to be affected by.
So
a machine deciding without human interaction or feedback is not allowed and has no legal basis. At the end of my part, I want to mention the adequacy or point to that. So as long as it's economically viable, we have to also offer different methods.
Das nicht vorzeigen möchten, die Möglichkeit zu geben.
So even people who don't have a national ID or want to use that to identify themselves should have access to those systems. And by enabling that, we're also taking off the pressure of surveillance from the system. Very important is also to not have these systems as an absolute entrance barrier, but only for the services or parts of those services that are actually meaningful for these kind of limitations. It's specifically problematic for the child welfare, according to Article 3 of the UN Child Rights Convention. So we can have a look at the general comment number 25, which is influencing or looking at those aspects which are difficult for child welfare. Those are the unique identification, building of profiles, tracking, and service overlapping connection of data. The German law is also defining that data which has been gathered from these services for age verification cannot be used for economic purposes.
Thank you.
So I'm handing over to my colleague now. Thanks a lot. Well, I'm ending the presentation now. Let's go on. A short wrap-up. Age verification are not implemented into law just by course. It depends on the evaluation, and this is not very easily done. Apart from that, there's also societal and political aspects, and we could also ask ourselves which are the consequences we face when more and more services want age verification. This is not supposed to be a discussion, a debate about child protection versus data protection. It's more about the risks that exist for us and also for kids, and the risks that age verification is. Apart from that, it's also that it's a change of paradigm change from an open, free internet where we can move without any barriers, and to verify, we have to be more visible. We leave anonymity and pseudonymity behind a bit and lose that. The surveillance pressure and will lead to us change our behavior. In the end, we all lose a bit of our integration and participation on the net. We get used to it and probably think that this will be the new normal. So age verification is not an overall solution for everything, for child protection in the internet. The usage of the internet has to be learned actively, and it won't always work by locking out children and minors, because you log out a lot of other stuff as well. We make it too easy when just making it like that. We also need, as a society, we need to work on that, and we need to work on that a lot. But the alternative, only putting up barriers, will not be the overall solution for that. What I want to say with that is we want to have services that are not dangerous. We want them to stop invasive advertising. We don't want and age verification is the wrong way. Thanks a lot.
Many, many thanks for this amazing talk. Please give a huge applause.
Bitte noch mal kurz sitzen.
And please stay seated for a while, because We have time for questions. I'm going to look towards the signal angels. Have we had any questions? Is there a signal from them? And apart from that, of course, you can queue up at the microphones, and I can see that some people are going there already. So let's start. Hi. 2 years ago, at the decentralized year-end events of the CCC, that was replaced with the replacement for the Congress at the time, there was a question whether GNU Tala could be used for age verification. Have you looked at these maybe currently only theoretical solutions as well? And if so, do you see an option for those to be recommended? Well, first of all, recommendations are always difficult. As a government agency, we are kind of bound. So we can always draw the joker card and say, this is not our concern. But of course, we're looking at these things. We are aware and of alternatives that do exist or might exist. Yes. Sorry. Thank you for that question. And I see that we have one more question from the internet. Dear Signal Angel. Yeah. The internet, first of all, the internet, as we've seen, the internet remarks that Carsten has a very pleasant voice to listen to. The question that came from the internet, isn't it enough for services if they store that a person is above 18 rather than storing the date of birth? For which purposes do services have to store these things? A great question. This is something that we kind of excluded from the talk, but of course it is also important how we deal with the data that we receive through age assurance, and that includes the actual statement of the age. Again, privacy by design is the rule here, and from our perspective, it would be enough to store whether the person is allowed to have access or not, no matter what the reason or what the actual date of birth is. And to some extent, this is explained by saying that if people are just under 18, I would have to re-ask every day, ask again, have you reached the age limit today or have you reached it tomorrow? So it might be more convenient to store from what point on that person does have access. But yes, of course, in theory, the information whether someone has access or not would be enough. Right, for the actual age assurance process. And I would like to add that the idea has been circulated that more and more age verification assurance is to be used for limits like 12, 13, 15, whatever. So there'll be many more functions that have to verify an age. So that makes it clear for the services wanting to know how old someone actually is. It does depend on how this is going to be processed, or maybe not processed.
Yes, and with that, I want to say thanks again for this interesting talk, and I would say a big applause.
Thank you.